Welcome to Around Our Schools, an interview program about educational opportunities in Clatsop County. I am Sarah Myra. Margaret Firmuth makes the interview sound great. Today we hear from Katie Killow and Stanette Klatt, science teachers at Astoria Middle School. The school at 1100 Klatskanine also includes a track football field and several soccer and baseball fields. This year, there are 380 students and 56 staff. In 2004, the Astoria School District assigned grades to buildings believing better education for students. AMS would be the school for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Part of the $70 million bond Astoria residents passed in 2018 has been spent at the middle school. Those improvements included seismic fire alarm and security systems upgrade, new energy efficient systems including the electrical, ventilation, and heating. The new three-story building is incredible and has window classrooms and plenty of upgrades to the science, library, music, and fabrication rooms. The cafeteria, kitchen, and gym saw needed improvements, as did the track and resurfacing and more parking. An open house is planned for spring term, and all will be invited to see the school. We know it isn't just the building that provides a safe place to learn, but having that along with good teaching ensures an education our youth deserve and need to become the workforce and support systems for the future. School begins at 8:05. a.m. and is done by 3:20, except on early out on Thursdays, so teachers can meet and collaborate. The three grades at the middle school have their home rooms. All grades also have classes in rooms specific to music, fabrication, and physical ed. Linda Breck is the principal and an Astoria High graduate known as Linda Brewer. Let's learn more. Welcome, Katie Killow. Tell us about yourself and your journey to teaching science at Astoria Middle School.
Hi, so after college, I taught high school for 1 year. I found that it wasn't the right fit for me. I subbed the following year. And in the process of subbing all throughout the county, I fell in love with the sixth grade. Sixth grade is really the first time that they get science. So I get them as blank slates and have the opportunity to really give them that foundation of what science is and can be. And I've been here ever since.
How long is that?
This is my sixth year in sixth grade.
Very good. And did you teach in other high schools or other schools before you came here?
Nope. I taught 1 year of high school over in Warrenton, and then I subbed everywhere. I subbed in Seaside Elementary and high schools, middle schools. I did sub in the Astoria Middle School often, actually, and when the science for sixth grade popped open, I snapped it up.
Very good. Where was home for you before you came to Astoria?
I'm originally from Denver, Colorado. I went to school in Seattle, Washington, and then I ran out of money after college and made my way here, and then got a job and have stayed ever since.
Fantastic. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And welcome, Stanette Klatt. Will you tell us about yourself and your journey to teaching at Astoria Middle School?
Thank you. I started out working as a volunteer naturalist for Portland Audubon Society, and I would take tour groups to their sanctuary as a volunteer. And then I found a love for that, environmental science, so I got a job at OMSI, and I fell in love more with teaching than I was with environmental science. So I went to graduate school at Willamette University and began teaching down in Ashland science, and then started at Astoria Middle School in 2002.
Really interesting background.
Thank you.
You found Astoria. If Katie is in the sixth grade, what is your grade?
I teach seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And Olivia's does the eighth grade. All right. Stanette, can you tell us how you teach science? You know, are there books and projects, and what does teaching science involve in Astoria Middle School?
Well, for science, for me, I'll use today as an example if I could. Today we did a lab where we were wondering, is there a temperature change in a chemical reaction? So we had a decrease in temperature for our first lab and an increase in temperature in our second. And so we had our words on the board, endothermic and exothermic. And we took those word parts apart, those words apart, and we discerned the meaning. However, we do not know yet which lab was endothermic and which was exothermic, because I want the students to build their own knowledge of that so that I could facilitate the learning so that they develop a conceptual understanding. If I stood there and told them an endothermic is, an exothermic is, they'll have a literal understanding, which is honestly the type of learning I received in school. And so I want to facilitate learning rather than teach.
Gee, that's the thinking part of learning, isn't it?
Yes, that's what I hope.
Okay, very good. So do you have also hard books, or is it all online now? How's that working?
Well, we have a book that is really my anchor, and it's by Joy Hakem. She wrote a series of books called The Story of Science, starting with Aristotle Leads the Way, Newton Finds the Center, and Einstein Finds a New Dimension. And those are the books I love. However, we've got an online book called CK12, where the students can have differentiated learning, reading based on their reading level, and they can always choose their preferred language that they want to read in.
So that is available. Is that available then in all three grades?
We all do a variation of that. I use a different website. I use News ELA instead. But it does the same thing. It levels the reading, and so kids are really reading at their level, and it also provides alternate or different languages, multiple languages, for them to read in.
That sure didn't happen back when our kids were going to school. It was one language and one book, and so this is really great. Science can be such an exciting class. Katie, can you tell us how your class proceeds during the school year? So kind of what makes your specials for sixth graders?
Sure. So like I said before, I really get the kids as a blank slate. So they've had limited exposure to science before sixth grade. In fifth grade, they end their year with some work in ecology. And I pick that up starting in sixth grade. And I use that time to sort of refresh and remind them on the words that they've learned, and that we're going to go deeper in all of these subjects. And in that time, I really teach my routines and my rules in my classroom because it's content that they're familiar with. After that, we jump into the scientific method and measurement, which students love because they get to use triple beam balances and beakers and measure things and really get some experience with the scientific method. After that, we go to my favorite, which is cells, and we look inside the cell and with microscopes and talk about all of the fun organelles, you know, mitochondria and chloroplast, and they love to say endoplasmic reticulum and those big words that kids just love. After that, we talk about body systems, so we scale up from cells to tissues and organs and organ systems, and that really gets us through winter break. After winter break, we shift gears dramatically. We start talking about space and then rocks. And typically, we have a science fair in about this time of year. We haven't done that the last few years. And then recently, I've started teaching waves, which has been really fun. And then I end the year with an introduction to chemistry, which Stinnett picks up in the fall of their seventh grade year. I think that my class is a really special place because I make such an effort to let them think that it's their space, and it is their space. So you'll often come in and you'll see projects tucked in a very strategically placed part of my classroom that they think is safe, or a special book tucked in another corner, and it really it's a community and a space for them. I'm big on being a citizen of the classroom and caring for each other and our physical space. And I think they feel that, and it creates a special sixth grade classroom.
So I find it really interesting that each grade is able to have their own science class that they create for their space. Mm-hmm. That is really supportive of what you're doing. And then you feed into the seventh grade, and seventh grade feeds into the eighth grade. So it's just a building block through science. Great. Do you want to add to that?
Well, I just was so impressed by the skills and the concepts that Katie gives the students. They've got such a solid foundation when they come to me. And when we had the pandemic, when we were out of school, you know, the physical building, I can really see the difference in the students. They really need help building not only science skills, but basic school skills, because these students have not been in a school building really since they left Lewis and Clark, the fifth grade. And I'm talking about my current seventh graders.
So you are spending a bit more time being school-wise.
Yeah, so sixth grade typically spends quite a bit of time talking about student skills and organizing your binder and making sure that you go to your locker appropriately in between classes and raising your hand, staying in your seat, all of those school skills. Sixth grade has always taught a lot of that. But this year, every grade is teaching that because they haven't had those true student experiences or traditional student experiences for such a long time.
Wow. So, Katie, do you have some memorable student encounters to share that we might understand a little bit about how science is impacting students?
Yeah, so my favorite thing about teaching sixth graders, and really my favorite thing about teaching in general, is giving kids opportunities to feel confident in themselves, especially when they don't really think of themselves as smart or sciencey or even nerdy, right? They don't think of themselves that way. And when they come into my classroom, I do my best to provide opportunities that every kid can have that, like, oh, I get it moment, which is, I know, very typical to say, but I love helping the kids that don't feel like that's them. I really enjoy helping those kids have that feeling of, I can be good at this and I can be confident in this. So when they, you know, say something astute in front of the whole class and giving them praise for that, that's a really good positive experience for me and for them.
Do you have any, Stanette?
Well, now that you mention it, I did receive a gift in the mail from a man who is an engineer for SpaceX. He wrote me a note saying that he designed the landing legs of the Falcon 9. And I looked and looked through my things, and I found his blueprint for his seventh grade rocket. And that is just so special.
That is special. Wow. Well, I remember an AMS student who thought she was going to be an artist, but was encouraged to attend a Tech Trek summer week by her science teacher, and that began her excitement with robotics, and now she's on to college in science. Teachers taking that personal interest in their students has grand results. And I applaud you for it, both. So school begins at 8:10 in the middle school. Stanette, can you tell us what is a typical day for those seventh grade students now?
Yes, well, we're all wearing masks, and these students are adolescents, and they have adolescent brains, and they just love each other more than they do teachers. And so they want to be together, they want to socialize together. Meanwhile, we need to keep the students 3 feet apart. And if they have their masks off, they have to be 6 feet apart. And so I feel that I'm trying to juggle and support the students as they interact in the mornings, especially, or between classes. And then, you know, with the new building, of course, we've got all the light. It's just really a special place. We have the mezzanine for the seventh grade. The students can look over the steps in the morning. It's a really exciting place to be in the morning. And then we have our classes, of course, throughout the day. And then at the end of class, or at the end of the school day, I mean, those kids are just out of here faster than you can say goodbye. But it's the morning time. That's the very special time.
How long are classes now?
Katie, will you take that one?
Sure. It's not a round number, so I'm going to guess. I believe that our classes run about 53 minutes, which is really It's not every teacher's preference. I really like it. I feel like we hit the ground running. We do a really good chunk of work for that time, and then we're on to the next thing. It keeps them moving and motivated and bouncing from class to class. So for me, it works really well the way that my brain works. It's a lot. They go through, there's a lot of work that they accomplish throughout a single school day. So they're tired by the end of the day, which is why they are out the door as fast as they can be.
So in the sixth grade, there's home classrooms that students start with 20, 25 students per class or classroom?
Yeah, our class sizes are pretty good this year. We have about, our average is maybe 23 or 24 kids per class, which is about right. It gives you enough that you can make really good groups, but it's not too few that if one kid is missing, it totally throws off the dynamic. It's a good set number. So we start our day with an advisory where we check in with students. We do teach some social emotional learning. My students right now, we are doing a reading Tuesdays where we drink our hot chocolate and read our stories, and it's wonderful. So we're building in those life skill habits of how to take care of ourselves and be good people. And then we go into our next classes, and so kids will have social studies and science and language arts, math. All students have a PE class. Sixth grade students all have a music class, either choir or orchestra or band. That becomes a choice when they hit seventh grade. Seventh grade, there's more options. We have a Spanish class this year, and then art also.
So that's through the day. And then on a Thursday, it's a short day. Is that the time for clubs and that activity, or is that just primarily what I used to call the teacher time to collaborate?
Yeah. So that's our teacher time, exactly. So this is the group. We meet as a group every Thursday, which is wonderful. We're able to bounce ideas off of each other, and it gives us the space to really align so that sixth grade can flow nicely into seventh grade, and seventh grade can flow nicely into eighth grade. So all the teachers in the building, they meet with their content on Thursday afternoons.
Okay. So besides the website, how do students and parents and staff keep up with what's planned and happening at school?
Well, specifically for my classes, the students are building their knowledge. I try to give feedback so that parents and students can read specific feedback for the student work. For example, there's a drop-down menu that says edit and resubmit, and then I'll type in specifically what needs to be edited. If that's what you're asking me about.
That's part of it, so that there is a part of homework that can be uploaded, corrected, and commented on, and then resubmitted if need be. What about if there's a game or a day off or a late day? How do parents and kids know what's going on?
We have school-wide messaging systems that our messages are sent out to parents in the community to let them know about things like that. We use that for conferences and, exactly, like snow days would be a great example. So we have school-wide messaging systems that do that.
And it works pretty good.
It seems to, yeah. Yeah.
Don't have kids wandering in. Nobody's there to greet them if that happens.
It does seem to work.
So the other thing is, the pandemic has closed down a lot of interacting and communication. Now that students are back in, are there student clubs and places where kids can learn how to interact and plan and produce things like yearbooks or newsletters or anything on that line?
Yeah, so returning in person, we are slowly building in those extracurricular activities. So right now we've actually got more things going on than I realized. We have an open gym Tuesdays through Thursdays, and it focuses on different games. So for example, Tuesday is a basketball open gym, Wednesday is soccer, and then Thursday is volleyball. So that runs from 6:30 to 7:30 Tuesdays through Thursdays. We have a theater person on our staff this year, and she is running a theater club Tuesday afternoons. right after school, which is awesome. I mean, it's right across from my hall, and it's a highlight of my week to watch those kids. They tend to be like-minded and rambunctious and lots of energy, and it's fun to watch them work. We do a homework club to support students Mondays and Tuesdays after school, and that's a great time for kids to stay and really carve out some time to get homework done. We also have a PRISM club, which is our LGBTQ plus community, and that meets the first and third Wednesdays of the month. And then we are hoping to get our robotics club up and going. We are having a hard time finding a supervisor for robotics club right now. So if anyone's interested, please let us know. There's a ton of really great materials we have. We just need to find the right person to facilitate that exciting experience. So yeah, we've got actually quite a few things going on here at the middle school after the school day.
That sounds pretty exciting to me. So Stanette, in your hopes for education at Astoria Middle School, what needs to happen? Or what is happening that makes your work more meaningful to you and your students?
Well, the foundation for the work is with all of the teachers, administrators, and support staff. Like, for example, as Katie mentioned, on Thursdays we meet as a content level team where we are working to collaborate on teaching strategies and the learning maps, the curriculum maps that we're working on. On Tuesdays, we have grade level meetings. So then we talk about specific learners and how can we adjust to meet the needs of different learners, whether students need a little help or maybe students need a little challenge. And so the Tuesday meetings are math, science, social studies, and language arts.
So you meet and then you make it better for the whole student body, because if there's somebody that needs specific help, you gather together to lend that help to them. And as that student progresses, do you meet again and say, how are we doing? Or
yes, we do. We try to bring in the help from our administrators. So we have a meeting that we call the 100% meeting, where we want 100% of our students showing growth. And then the students who we identify as needing more support, we find those students and we see what they need. For example, if it's an attendance problem, that's outside of our control. And so then we bring in our administrators to help us with that. Or maybe we need to bring in our counselors for help. Maybe we need our family liaison with the Spanish-speaking community.
So it's a team effort.
Yes.
That's pretty neat. Katie, do you see your future as a science teacher at the Astoria Middle School? Do you have any planned projects for your kids, and what's your future here?
Sure, so right now I am at a point where I'm getting to try some new things. So I've been here, this is my sixth year in sixth grade, and I've gotten some really great foundational things and some projects really dialed in and working very smoothly. So now I get to try some new things. This week we built seismographs, which measure the intensity of an earthquake. And I have to say, they have just risen to the challenge. It's been phenomenal to watch them work and use their hands and their collaboration skills and really produce these awesome seismographs. I've never done this before. It's just going wonderfully. So I'm hoping, I know that I will build in the next couple months before school's out another design challenge just like this. They've really taken to it. The engagement level is through the roof. The kids that I've had, you know, a hard time engaging and don't like to sit there and take notes or do the traditional school things, they are all over it. They're building and tinkering and designing, and it's wonderful to see. So I'll be building in another one of those this year, which is not something I've typically done, but because I don't think we're doing a science fair this year, building in these design challenges is a great alternative.
Good. A few years ago, there was a garden that was planted out and students raised food and harvested it. Is that ongoing, or is that kind of gone to seed for a couple of years?
Gone to seed. I think I see where you're going with that. But we hope to reseed it. Right now, we've got our greenhouse that doesn't have a floor and it's overgrown with weeds. And remember, we were greatly impacted by the pandemic. Also, we put aside that type of work so we could get our building remodeled. And so we'll work those things back in. I'm certain we'll bring back that garden.
Good. And this is quite the building. I'm just really impressed and look forward to the open house where people can come in and see all the work that has been done. It's just great. So, do you have any more things to share, Katie? Any thoughts or?
Yeah, well, just thinking about the building and how beautiful it is, it's also wonderful to see how much student work is already on the walls and how personalized the classrooms already have become. It takes some time to really build that classroom culture and classroom feel, and all of our teachers here have really taken that challenge and had, you know, I'm looking out into the hallway and I can see student work from here, and it's wonderful that we're able to show off what our students do and give them this space to grow.
So it is impressive that you've got three floors, three classes, three age groups, and they each have their own floor to make their own. Mm-hmm. And then they can interact when they're in cafeteria, or do they do that in separate times?
Yeah, our grade levels are pretty separate right now. Seventh and eighth grade have more overlap. There's some classes that both seventh and eighth graders share, so they're going back and forth between those floors. For example, Spanish. We have eighth graders taking Spanish and also seventh graders. Sixth grade is pretty separate. Their classes are all run with sixth grade. But yes, it is really nice to see. And if you walk on the different floors during passing periods, it is a different feel on every floor. Still kids are kids, but it does change. Middle school, in my experience, middle school, the developmental changes are clearest. So sixth to seventh grade, there's major changes. And then seventh to eighth grade, there is also they grow so much and in height and in personality. And
so there are competitive sports at the seventh and eighth grade level?
Sixth grade
does also.
Yeah, so sixth grade is included for wrestling and track and field.
And they have games that are open to people coming to enjoy it?
Yes, absolutely. And it's been fun to see.
Okay, so we're about to wrap this up, and I sure want to thank Katie Killo and Stanette Klatt for sharing your work and students with us today. Your excitement for science transfers to students' learning. Next to parents, teachers are the instillers and enablers of curiosity and critical thinking. Your work is so important, and we are grateful. Thank you, Margaret Frimuth, and special thanks to KMUN for supporting these interviews. You can listen and share this and other interviews by going to the KMUN website and clicking on the podcast box, and then going to Around Our Schools and find out what you'd like to hear. And finally, schools have foundations that raise money to give to students as they further their educations. Clatsop Community College is having a big one on April 30th. It's called Be Part of the Magic. Last year, they gave over $250,000 in scholarships. If you want to be a part of that, read more on the Clatsop Community College website. We will be back on April 12th. Thanks for listening to Around Our Schools.